Thank you so much to Himley Road and the Methodist Circuit for inviting members of Springs Church to come and preach. We recognise this is a massive honour and not one that we take lightly. To be invited somewhere to come and share is an incredibly powerful thing. So thank you so much. We've been asked to share a series that we ran at Springs back end of last year called God Has a Name. And it was born from a desire, really, to help our people at Springs to grow in their spiritual maturity. What we've realised over the years is that we cannot take anyone's knowledge about God for granted. We had a discussion with a couple that had been in church for a decent number of years and became aware very quickly that they weren't aware that God had different names. They weren't aware that there were names used in the Bible that were names other than God. And we would have naturally assumed that this couple might know this sort of information. So what we wanted to do was bring some real foundational teaching to our people at Springs again. And it's one of the things that we hark back to quite often is we want to try and be deep and wide. We want to be welcoming. We want people to try and understand things for the first time, to have a fresh revelation of Jesus and what he can do in our lives. But also to be encouraging and deep for people that have been in the faith for a long time. So I pray that that would be true this morning. Before I launch into what I want to say this morning, let's just bow our heads and pray very briefly. Father God, I thank you that you are already here amongst us. I thank you that your presence is here, your Holy Spirit is here, and through your Son we can access that. Father God, I would ask that that the Holy Spirit would distract us this morning, and that we may know there is a fresh piece of revelation that we can gain this morning for us, like a little treasure hunt that God has laid out for us on the map to try and find something fresh for us. In your name, amen. 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 So I don't know if you're aware, but the Bible was not actually originally written in the English language. In the Bible, there were many, many different names given for God. Many of the words were just translated as God, but they were actually really varied and different, and they give a different element of God's character in each one. Almost a little bit like nicknames. I'm sure lots of us have had nicknames in our life. At Springs, we call John the Captain, because when we first started Springs, he was captain of Enville Golf Club, and we all went for a very nice afternoon at Enville Golf Club, being invited by the captain. Sometimes we call him El Capitan because of the Portugal experiences. Of course, I had many hair-related nicknames at school. One of my proudest nicknames was Paul Scholes. And that was because in year 8, Kings Winford inter-house competition, I absolutely bossed the game from midfield. And it was decided that then on my nickname would be Scholesy. That comparison only lasted one game because I didn't play very well the game afterwards. But still, it was nice for the 45 minutes to have it. In my job as a primary school teacher, as Gemma's mentioned, I was occasionally, when I was leading singing assemblies for the whole school, I would occasionally be called Ed Sheeran by the other teaching staff and by some of the kids as well. I'm not sure that was for my singing ability, maybe more so just as a bit of a jib. I'm sure throughout the years, we've all had different nicknames or been called different things, shortened versions of our true name. Maybe you've even changed your name throughout your life. And God is no different to that. So in this series, we're going to look at some of these different names for God. And they can mostly be found in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, which was originally written in the language of Hebrew. And these names that we'll look at will hopefully allow us to have a greater understanding of our faith, the God that we serve, and hopefully it'll allow us to feel more connected to God in understanding what his character is. The first step in getting to know somebody is to introduce yourself, is it not? You would meet someone, shake their hand. I've done it to many people this morning and said, hello, my name is. It's one of the first steps. You don't begin to know somebody until you know their name. And each of the names that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks when we've got Pete and John, Lindsay and myself coming to speak, all of these names begin with the Hebrew word Jehovah. It's worth pointing out that the word Jehovah is probably known to many of us, and we might be quite familiar with it, with regard to groups such as Jehovah's Witnesses. Today, we're not talking about anything related to that group of people. We don't have time to discuss that. as a topic this morning. It doesn't mean anything related to Jehovah's Witnesses per se. We're still a Bible-believing, Jesus-following church. So if this word is sort of around in our language today, where did it originally come from? The word Jehovah is actually the most holy word the Old Testament, the Jewish people had at the time for God. In fact, the word Jehovah was forbidden to be actually even written down for many, many, many years. And it was only passed along to the next generation verbally. They regarded the word Jehovah so holy, it wasn't even permitted to be scribed and written. So if this is the most holy name for God, if God is at his holiest, what does it mean to us? So we're going to pick up our story today in the book of Exodus. And Exodus, is worth pointing out, is a literal story of an exodus, a mass moving of people from one place to another place. The story of the Israelites moving away from slavery in the land of Egypt into their promised land of Israel. I'm sure many of you might have seen The Prince of Egypt from the 90s, but I'd encourage you to read the story for yourself and maybe not base our theology upon a cartoon with some nice songs. We're going to pick up the story in Exodus 15. So hopefully this, hey, it works first time. This is very good. Thanks, gents. So at this time, we're seeing the story of Israel, that they've currently been in captivity. They've been in slavery in Egypt. In Exodus 14, we see that Pharaoh finally decides to let the Israelites go. And in fact, Exodus 14, and I don't have time to read it this morning, is one of the most action-packed chapters of the Bible. He decided to let people go, Pharaoh did. Moses, through the power that God gave him, then parted the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changed his mind, chased Israel down, and all manner of incredible and dramatic things happened. I would encourage you to go and read chapter 14 yourself, but we're going to pick up the story today in chapter 15. Just after God has brought down a pillar of fire to slow down Egypt and close the Red Sea to decimate the Egyptian army. It says this in Exodus 15. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah, which means bitter in the old language. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you." So today we're looking at the name of God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. But when I was initially reading this story, it struck me as, this is a really weird story to put the name Jehovah Rapha in. You see, if I was talking about God healing someone, I would put that name in a story where someone was sick and then God physically made them better. There are loads of those stories in the Bible. I would put that name in a story where someone was dying and the Lord made them better. That would make more sense to me. God didn't need to heal these people. They weren't sick. They just needed water. So where did the name Jehovah Rapha come from? They weren't physically sick, but what these people were, after 400 years of slavery, was twisted and bitter. They had just witnessed the most incredible miracle to date in the Bible, one that we talk about thousands of years later. They'd seen a pillar of fire come down from the earth, and they'd seen the Red Sea open and close before their very eyes. These people had their bare feet and sandals run across the dry land that was wet seconds before. These people had seen God bring down a pillar of fire. They'd been set free from slavery, and yet here we find them grumbling about bitter water. You see, it wasn't the water that was bitter, but their hearts also. The passage says that God tested them. God knew these people were identityless. They were lost. They were full of fear. Slavery had been their comfort zone. Israel had been slaves to Egypt for at least 400 years at this point. And it's all the people had ever known. Even their great-grandfathers would have been born and died in slavery, let alone the people that were actually escaping Egypt finally. God showed these people that he would physically care for them, but he also wanted them to be whole emotionally and spiritually. God can heal us, and he wants to heal us. He wants to heal us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. He wants to turn our bitter hearts soft again, and he wants to bring us an identity that we may have lost over thousands of years of slavery. I know that time and time again, God has healed in my life, and I know that Jehovah Rapha to be true today. I've seen healing make a difference in many forms and many paths, but what I do know is that God still heals today. He still heals today. The promise that he gave to Israel in the Old Testament is one that we can take to heart today. I will be Jehovah Rapha. About 8 or 9 years ago, I went through what in hindsight was a really tough period of just crippling anxiety. I just started full-time teaching straight after uni. Jen and I had just got married, and we'd also started Springs all in the space of a couple of months. And so I was just consumed with these anxious thoughts of all the life change that had happened all in one go. What if I'm not a good husband? What if my wife really sees how selfish I am? What if Springs falls flat on its back? What if we're no good? What if God didn't say that? What if we've got it wrong and we weren't meant to start a church after all? What if I'm not going to be good at my job? What if I'm not going to do what I've spent 3 years at uni studying for? What if I'm not going to be any good at that? It got to the point where I was physically being sick before work every single morning, just with the thoughts and the anxiety that was coming through. It all came to a head March 2015. It was actually on my birthday. And Jen and I had been married for about a month at this stage. And my mum and dad came round, and I remember everything just coming to a head, and I just spilled out how I was feeling, what was going on, how I didn't feel I could cope. And after lots of tears, I remember Jen and my mum and my dad praying over the situation, and just that sense of peace, that instant sense of, I've got you. God healed me from that anxiety, and it's no longer a part of my life. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jehovah Rapha, in person today. I also know that God can physically heal us, still even today. Is this going to click? It will do. Great. See, I was born with something called a duplex kidney system. I don't want to turn into a biology lesson, but this occurs in about 1% of the population, so I'm not quite one in a million, but one in 100 I'll take. And normally this is picked up on, nowadays it would be picked up on ultrasounds quite early. Unfortunately, mine wasn't discovered until I was 3 and a half, and it had pretty much destroyed my left kidney. The valve on the duplex sides were too narrow, it was doing a lot of damage. And a quote from a friend who went to Westbury Chapel at the time, actually, she just came to me and said, you were a really poorly little boy. But God made my body. So did God make it imperfect? That's a very complex issue. I would say no. But what he did do was give me a story so that I could praise his name. After 2 successful surgeries, lots of time to heal up, by the time I was about 5, I haven't had any kidney issues ever since. I know that God held my mum and dad's hand through some of the hardest times. You'd have spotted I've put Isaiah 41 verse 10 up on the screen. This was the verse that my mum and dad really, really clung to during that time. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So did God click his fingers and make my kidneys instantly better? No, I had to go through physical surgeries to do that. But what God did do is he never let go of mum and dad's hand all through that. The families were held tight. God created my body, and therefore he is also ultimately responsible for the healing that occurred. Just because the surgeon played his part does not remove any of the glory from God. Our church at the time, Calvary, was going through a season of healing. I'll show you a little list for GDPR reasons. I've blacked out some of the names, but you can see my name about halfway down. Benjamin Wade healed of kidney problems. You should see down here, a miracle of God due to being born premature. That's now our drummer at Springs. God's list of healing is countless and endless. The other time I've personally experienced healing was when I'd broken my foot playing football. It was actually part of the youth group we were in. We were the youth leaders, and I was supposed to be leading the football, which if you've ever done youth ministry, you know that means playing football and telling children to calm down. So I was leading the football, and I was the victim of a nasty and vicious tackle from one of the other youth leaders at the time. We were told later that we were being too boisterous. It was one of those straight away where I knew the tackle came in, I knew I'd done something. I was 17 and I had exams all week. So Friday night, we went off to A&E and to confirm I'd broken a metatarsal. I was going to be on crutches for a few weeks. So that Friday, I then had the Saturday, Sunday at home feeling sorry for myself. And I had two exams on the Monday, which I felt really prepared for. But I had to wait until everyone else had gone into the hall. Now, I went to college at King Ed's in Stourbridge, and there were about 900 people in this hall, and I had to wait till the end for health and safety purposes. So I then managed to, as I got down the exam hall, I'd been on these crutches for 3 days, I put my crutch on someone's foot and they shouted out. Then as I sat down, I swung around and knocked my pencil case clean off. I had 900 eyes staring at me as if, shut up, I want to do my exam. So I absolutely fluffed that one. I just about scraped a pass in the end. My next exam was on the Wednesday. So I went to see my tutor Monday afternoon after the exam. And I said, look, can I please go in first next time? Because I'm a little bit clumsy and I don't want the embarrassment of trying to squeeze down a narrow corridor again. So on Wednesday, would it be okay if I went first? However, Tuesday night, Pete and the guys that were our other youth leaders had a youth prayer meeting. And they really felt called to pray for healing. So I had a phone call that night, and they prayed for me over the phone. They asked God to heal my broken bone in my foot. They knew that I was a bit worried as how Monday had gone. And all I can say is I felt a really hot feeling, a sensation. My foot went very, very warm and kind of tingled. And I don't know how to explain it really. But in front of my eyes, I could see bruising and swelling just going down. I went over, and that was about the space of 5 minutes. So Pete and the guys were praying and said, is it changing? I went, I think it's changing. Could you keep praying? And yeah, it's definitely getting less. Can you keep praying? And so for those 5 minutes, the guys just kept on praying. I couldn't really hear one specific prayer. It was just like a big noise coming down the phone. So I decided, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and stand up without my crutches. And I gingerly sort of stood and put a bit of weight on it and thought, couldn't do that a bit ago. Took a few steps and thought, I definitely couldn't do that. So I got back on the phone and said, just give me 5 minutes. I went downstairs and walked straight down the stairs, started playing football in the back garden, ran back up and said, yeah, guys, it's all right. Thank you very much. That actually led to a little mini revival we had at our Christian Union at King Ed's, which I was leading at the time. And we ended up being called into the principal's office and told to stop praying for people because things were going on that were freaking people out a little bit. We saw lots and lots of healing during that time. I know that God has healed me in many ways in my life. And sometimes it's really easy, maybe even just to slip into a negative thought pattern, a bad attitude towards something. And I've been healed of that time and time and time again. Now, I will point out at this point, there have been more times that I've prayed for people and they have not been healed than times that I've prayed for people and they have been healed. The majority of the times I've prayed for people, I've not seen a direct healing there and then. It's easy to feel that our prayers for healing sometimes don't work. They didn't do the thing that I wanted them to do. God is not a magic wish-granting genie who always does exactly what we want. But he does promise to never leave us, never forsake us. He promises that he knows what is best for us and that he works all things to the good of those who love him. Your answer to prayer may not look like the answer that you would desire. If the question of prayer or unanswered prayer is something that you're struggling with, I'd really encourage you to read a great book called God on Mute by Pete Grieg. We went through that series with our life groups last year, actually. And it was really, really powerful, helpful teaching. God on Mute by Pete Grieg. In short, our faith means that we put our trust in God. And that's especially powerful when we feel let down or unheard. How much more faith does it take in that moment to put your trust in God when you feel let down? Rest assured that God does heal and God does hear you. God is closer than a brother. He knows the number of hairs on our head. We just need to trust him. In the Bible, we have the perfect example of Jehovah Rapha in the person of Jesus. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and a perfect mirror to the story in Exodus. It is incredible if you ever read Jesus' life story and the book of Exodus side by side, how they deliberately mirror each other, something that only God could have orchestrated. He brings us in the modern day Christian into our promised land, and our promised land is eternity with him. Life the other side of death. During Jesus' ministry and his time on earth, he performed many miracles in the name of God. Too many for me to list today. He healed people physically. He healed people emotionally. But he healed people spiritually as well. Jesus showed us that he is the great physician who heals the sick. In Galilee, Jesus went from town to town, healing every disease and sickness amongst the people, Matthew 4:23. In Judea, large crowds followed him and he healed them there, Matthew 19:2. In fact, wherever he went, into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed, Mark 6:56. Not only did Jesus heal people physically, he also healed them spiritually by forgiving their sins. Luke 5:20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The ultimate fulfillment of Jehovah Rapha was that Jesus was able to say, "Your sins are forgiven," to heal us and bring us into wholeness with God again. Every day, in every way, Jesus proved himself to be Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. In Mark 2, we see how much Jesus actually wants to heal us spiritually. He wants to forgive us of the things we've done against him and bring us into new life with him. This is Mark 2, verses 1 to 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such numbers there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The story goes on for Jesus to physically heal that man. But what I wanted to emphasize this morning was that the most important healing happened in that moment. "Son, your sins are forgiven." I hope you forgive me, but I don't know everyone in the room by name. I don't know your spiritual journeys. I don't know where you are at in terms of your faith. It would be remiss of me to come here and share such a message and not give you an opportunity to meet this person, Jesus, for yourself. Maybe you've been coming along to church and you're thinking you're on the edges, on the cusp of faith. You might be thinking, maybe this is for me, maybe it's not for me. I would love to just give you a really small opportunity to respond to what Jesus has said this morning. Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, I thank you for my friends here, Himley Road Methodist Church. Lord, I thank you for their faith. Lord, I would ask right now, if there is anyone in this room that would not consider themselves to know Jesus, maybe they're sitting here right now and their heart is beating a little bit faster than normal. Maybe they're sitting here thinking, I think I want to take the next step. I think I want to become a Christian. Their heart may be filled with questions. Mine is too. Lord, I would just ask that you would come and be their saviour. Maybe if that's you, maybe you would just say this prayer in your heart quietly. Lord, I thank you that you want to know me. I thank you that you want to heal me. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are against you. The Bible might call them sins. I might have done them knowingly, and I might not have even known that that was wrong. Lord, I'm sorry for those things. Lord, please come and help me. Come and live with me. Come and be my saviour. And Lord, thank you that because I ask, I now step into eternity with you. In your name, amen. Amen.